Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of emotions, and we're specifically focusing on the emotion of sorrow. Sorrow is the pain that we all experience when we lose someone or something that is dear to us. We live in a fallen world, a sin-cursed earth, and loss comes to all of us. And with loss comes the pain of loss, sorrow, and grief. There's no way around it. You simply have to learn to deal with it in terms of what the Word of God says. When we lose someone or something dear to us, we experience emotions stimulated by that loss, mourning, grief, and sorrow. We can't avoid them. We have to learn to deal with them in a godly way so that they don't turn into despair and hopelessness. Now, we've already covered a lot of ground here. Let me just review briefly, as we always do. Christians tend to make one of two mistakes in regard to sorrow. I've had Christians who are 100% sincere, they've lost someone they love, and they tell me, I'm trying to be strong. Nowhere does the Bible tell people who are grieving to try to be strong. What it tells us is to sorrow in hope. Sometimes Christians feel bad because, or they feel guilty even, because they're feeling grief. They're thinking, maybe I'm not a strong Christian. Maybe there's something wrong with my faith. But no, that is not the case. When you lose someone you love or something you love, you will feel the emotion of grief. It's completely appropriate. You don't have to deny it. You don't have to pretend you don't feel it. You don't have to feel guilty for feeling it. You have to learn to deal with it the way the Bible instructs us to. Then the other side of the coin is Christians who are completely passive in the face of their grief and even feed their grief and never move beyond the gut-wrenching pain of the grief. And they basically never get over it. Well, let me phrase it differently. You don't get over losing someone you love. You adjust to it. But the key in both cases, whether you're trying to pretend like you don't feel bad when you really do, or when you feed your grief and never move beyond it, the key to both of those is the same. It's learning to grieve the way the Bible prescribes. And basically, I'm getting ahead of myself. We'll discuss this in more detail tomorrow and Friday. But Paul, in 1 Thessalonians, wrote to a group of Christians who were asking him a number of questions about loved ones who had died. And he had a lot to say to them. But listen to this. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, he says to them, "We are not like those who sorrow with no hope." A Christian truly sorrows, but we sorrow with hope. That's 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. Hope is confident expectation of coming good. When you face loss and the pain and the grief that comes with loss, you have to hold on to hope in the midst of your grief. See, Paul talked about being sorrowful, yet rejoicing. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 10. And in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, he talked about rejoicing in hope. We've already discussed this earlier in the week. To rejoice, to be sorrowful, yet rejoice, does not mean pretend like you feel good when you really feel bad. Rejoicing is not an emotional response to your situation. It is a volitional action. You, by an act of your will, choose to recall the reasons that you have hope in your situation. You can rejoice while you're crying your eyes out. In fact, if you're grieving the loss of someone you love, that's exactly what you do. You rejoice while you're crying your eyes out, because to rejoice is an action you take to recall the reasons you have hope. Paul rejoiced in hope. That word rejoice, we said, actually means to be full of cheer. Now, cheer there is not an emotion. It means to be encouraged, to be full of encouragement. See, when you encourage somebody or when you cheer somebody, what do? You tell them things like, it's all right. It's going to be okay. It's going to work out. You're going to get through this. You don't tell them, oh, feel better. Pretend like you're not sad. No, you give them reasons why they can hope in their situation, why they can have expectation of coming good. Well, that's how you handle grief. You don't deny that you're grieving. You don't try to not cry. Go ahead and cry. Go ahead and embrace that in that sense. But remember, in the midst of it, we have hope. Now, we began to talk a little bit yesterday about the reasons we have hope as Christians. We could do entire lessons on this, but we made the point that for a Christian, there actually is no such thing as a hopeless situation because we serve the God of hope. All loss is temporary. See, there's so little teaching in the church today on what's ahead after this life. So people lack information of what is a tremendous source of hope. We mistakenly call life after death the afterlife, but that's backwards. This life that we're living right now is the pre-life. The best is yet to come for a Christian. The greater and better part of our existence is ahead, and in the life to come, there is reunion, restoration, and recompense. So, yes, you've truly lost someone you love, but it's a temporary separation. Now, that separation is real, and the pain is genuine. That's completely normal and appropriate, but you mitigate the pain with the knowledge that this loss is temporary, and in the life to come, there will be reunion, restoration, and recompense. And you go through a process. I used the example of myself yesterday. I lost my mother, and I never had children, but I had a daughter who was like an adopted daughter. She was in my life for 19 years, and then at 35, she got cancer and literally died in a matter of a few months. I lost my mother and this girl within 6 months of each other, just boom, boom, one on top of the other, and then my father the following year. So I know what it means to lose someone that you love. I know the pain, the gut-wrenching pain. And in the beginning, the thought that they were in heaven, I mean, I'm just being honest here, on one level, yes, it was comforting, but on another level, that was actually the problem. They're in heaven. I don't want them in heaven. I want them right here. You know, let me throw this in. When you're dealing with somebody who's lost someone they love, and I've seen this happen, people mean well, but, you know, somebody comes bouncing into the room all full of excitement and joy, saying to somebody who's just lost a close loved one, isn't it wonderful? They're in heaven. Isn't that great? That isn't what somebody who's just lost a loved one needs to hear, because the fact that their loved one is in heaven is actually the problem. And until that initial gut-wrenching pain goes, and it does eventually, it does go, it went for me, it'll go for you, and you move from where, I mean, early on, you don't care if your loved one likes it in heaven and doesn't want to come back. You want them back. But then, as the pain lessens, you get to the point where, I use this word in regard to myself, my feelings about my mother and this young girl, it was wistful. And then it got to the point where it is now, that I wouldn't bring them back if I could. That gut-wrenching pain is long gone, and I'm actually looking forward to go to be with them, because I know we're going to be reunited. And I know we're all eventually coming back to earth with the Lord Jesus Christ at his second coming. We'll all be reunited with our physical bodies, resurrected from the dead, and we'll live on this earth in the kingdom of God forever. ahead is reunion, restoration, and recompense. And to keep sorrow from becoming despair, we've got to encourage ourselves with the fact that for somebody who truly knows the Lord, all loss is temporary. Yes, there is some recompense in this life, but don't be upset if everything doesn't come back to you in this life. It'll come back to you in the life to come. We'll discuss that in more detail tomorrow. But see, this is consistent with something Jesus said about the relationship between sorrow and knowledge of what is ahead. We deal with sorrow through knowing what's ahead. It doesn't take away the pain of the loss, but it helps us remember the loss is temporary, and the expectation of coming good sustains us in the midst of loss and the sorrow engendered by it. You may recall that in John 16, this is at the Last Supper, the night before Jesus went to the cross, he told his disciples that he was leaving them. And if we were to read the whole passage here, it actually starts in John 13 through John 17, but the news that he was leaving stimulated grief and sorrow in them, but he encouraged them with the fact that their sorrow would be turned to joy because this will be a temporary separation. Obviously, he was going to die and be raised from the dead 3 days later. He'd spend 40 more days on this earth and then go back to heaven, and they would be separated for a much longer time, but it was temporary. He compared the process of dealing with their sorrow with how women deal with the pains of childbearing. In verses 20 through 22, he says that a woman, when she is in labor, has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of that child, she remembers no more the anguish for the joy that a man is born into this earth. In other words, you get through labor because you know what the end result is going to be. I'm going to have a kid. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says that Jesus endured the cross for the joy that was set before him. The principle here for dealing with sorrow is remembering the hope that we have, or the expectation of coming good. Remember the end result. Remember what's ahead. You don't wipe out sorrow. If you hurt, you hurt. But what you do is see reality as it truly is. This loss is temporary. For a Christian, there's no such thing as a hopeless situation. In the life to come, there is reunion, restoration, and recompense. And that knowledge helps sustain you until time lessens the gut-wrenching pain that you're feeling, and you can move through this pain and adjust to life without your loved one until you see them again. Are you getting the point that we're making here? We have hope. More tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.